The language of the Spirit. Let me just speak briefly about the language of the Spirit. John 4:24 says that God is Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To engage the spirit realm, you need to understand the language of the Spirit. There's a language of the Spirit. If you want to engage in the life of New Zealand, you need to understand English. There's a language you need to understand, and you need to understand Kiwis and Kiwi culture. If you understand English and you understand Kiwi culture and that our unique expression in the earth, then you're able to engage within this nation. Without those two things, you could come to this nation and you could say, oh, this is a lovely nation with lovely people, but you can't really engage in the nation. And heaven is a realm, and you can engage that realm, but to engage it, you need to learn the language of that realm. I go to different nations, and one of my favorite nations is Taiwan. I've been to Taiwan 7 times now. I love Taiwan. I don't know why. I just fell in love with the nation. When I put my feet into that nation, I fell in love with it. I love the people. I love the atmosphere in the nation. I love the food, and I love the language. They speak Mandarin. I can't speak Mandarin. When you go to a restaurant, because the Taiwanese are exceptional in the area of hospitality, they know how to be hospitable. And so you get taken to meal after meal after meal after meal. I beg them not to feed me. They so overdo it in that area. And every meal is a huge Chinese meal. They say, what do you want tomorrow? Do you want Asian or do you want European? Well, I always love Asian more than Western food. But they say, do you want Western or do you want Asian? I said, I want small. I don't care what it is. I just want small. And even though I try hard and say, I just want small, you guessed it, it's another massive Asian meal, because the meal, you know, the dishes just keep coming. And I learned, if you don't put your hand up to stop them putting food on your plate, they keep putting food on your plate. So you sit around the table, and over there, meals are more communal than our meals. And so they talk and carry on, and they're talking and carrying on in Mandarin. I can't understand a word of it, but I love it. I love the sound. Mandarin's very musical. It's a beautiful language. I just love the sound of it. I love the animation. I sit there all in my own little world with my chopsticks, eating my Asian food, just enjoying them. And they'll speak in English with me as well. They have limited English, so it's not like I'm excluded completely. But if I knew Mandarin, I could engage with the culture. But because I don't, I can't. I have a translator with me, and so she will help me engage with the people in everyday life, but she'll be translating for me as I'm preaching. So because of the translator, I can engage with that nation and with the help of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit speaks a universal language. You know, not everybody knows English, not everybody knows Mandarin, but everybody knows how to laugh. Everybody knows joy. Everybody knows grief and sorrow and tears. There are certain languages that everybody in the globe knows. So I can go to a people, I don't even know their language, and Holy Spirit comes, and we're having this radical Holy Spirit party, and the place is just brimming over with life, and we feel like we know each other. I mean, I'm laughing with people that I only met yesterday, and they're laughing with me like they've known me all my life. There's a language of the Spirit that goes beyond the natural. Hallelujah. My Mandarin is so limited. It's really embarrassing. I've been there 7 times. You know, I've even got a program on my computer to learn Mandarin. You learn 10 words at a time, and you're supposed to go over and over those 10 words till you learn them, and then you go on to the next 10 words. I haven't got past the first 10 words. For some reason, I just can't seem to get into the space. I can say, xiexie, which means thank you. You've got to know that in Taiwan, because they're so hospitable. And xiexie, you'll hear that all the time, thank you. So you need to learn to say xiexie. Ni hao means hello. I can say hello. I can say, warai ni Yesu. It means I love you, Jesus. Warai ni. I can say, I love you. So they were teaching me to say, I love you. And you know when you say something for the first time in a language, you over-accentuate it. And so I'm saying what in English would be like, I love you. And they're like, yeah, yeah, okay, but you sound like it's a war cry. You know, like you go up to a girl and say, I love you. But I love you. Like you're about to start a war. So I had to learn to soften the tone. Warai ni. I love you. Warai ni Yesu. Okay, so I'm just telling you how limited my language is. Oh, I do know some words because I hear the translator say them over and over again. Gundor, I hear that a lot. Gundor, it's because I'm saying more Holy Spirit. Gundor, I should know more words than this. Shao. Shao means laugh. Shao. Okay. Although I love the sound of Mandarin, I can't engage in it. You can love the sound of the spirit realm. You can love the sound of heaven. You could love Revelation 4 and 5, going before the throne, and there's angel, there's seraphim, and there's eyes, and there's wings, and there's color, and there's sound. You could actually position yourself in that realm, in the spirit, in your worship, and just love being there. I love being in Taiwan. But you could actually learn the language of that realm and begin to engage it. The Apostle John was engaging the realm the whole way from Revelation 1 to Revelation 22. He was actually engaging the realm, not just in the realm. So if you learn the language of the spirit realm, you can begin to engage it. Let me just give you four realities of the spirit realm. This is the language of the spirit realm. First one is thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise is more than just something we do. It's actually the language of the spirit realm. Through thanksgiving and praise, we come into God's immediate presence. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. In other words, with thanksgiving and praise, there's movement and destination. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise are the language of the spirit realm. The whole temple area is a picture of the spirit realm. So as you move into the spirit realm, as you go through the gates into that temple area and you go into the courtyards, you enter into a realm where thanksgiving and praise is the language, is the way that you interact with that whole realm. So you want to get in the spirit realm? You want to develop your language of thanksgiving and praise, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. You know how the whole nation of Israel got way deep in the spirit realm that the priests couldn't even stand to minister? You know how they did it? There was a way they did it. And then they thought, oh, this is fun. We're going to use the same tool again. We're going to use the same key again. And this time the priests couldn't even get in the building. They couldn't even get in the temple. You know what the key was? They simply said, the whole nation together in unison said over and over and over again, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And it just went on and on and on and on until the whole thing opened up and the nation was in the spirit realm. That's how it happened. You can't do that today. I'll be honest with you. You can't do that today. Straight away you get accused of excess. Straight away you get accused of hypnotism. It's the Bible. If hypnotism is a problem, it's just a copy of a real thing. Let's get over this stupid thinking. We are the ones that have the new age, not the new age. Let's tell the new age to move over. Let's tell the seances to move over. Oh, you think that's cool, talking to demons? Hey, let me show you the spirit realm. I'll give you a different type of seance, all right? By the way, come out. Do you feel better now? Spirit realm is real. Hallelujah. Tongues is a language of the spirit realm. Tongues is a gift to strengthen your engagement with the spirit realm. If I want to strengthen my engagement in Taiwan, I need to learn Mandarin. If you want to increase your engagement with the spirit realm, then the gift of tongues has been given to you for that very purpose, to strengthen your engagement. If you're stuck in automatic tongues, da 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 da, and there's no engagement in the spirit realm, I might suggest that there is a way to pray in tongues which increases your faith and your engagement with the spirit realm. Nothing worse than automatic tongues. It's one of the hardest things when I'm ministering to get people in the spirit realm. I have to tell them to stop praying in tongues because they've gone into automatic tongues, which is actually stopping them from drinking. And so it's something I have to repeat every single meeting that I'm in. And see, even after I tell people time and time again, and they'll be sitting there, in tongues. God, touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me. And say, would you just shut up? Please. Stop flapping. Start drinking. Okay, anyhow, praying in tongues is given to us. It's a gift. You're going to understand this. The New Testament holds the gift of tongues in very high regard. This book, if you're really a person with this book, the New Testament holds the gift of tongues in very high regard. God does not give stupid gifts. He doesn't give junk. When you treat God's gifts lightly, you're actually insulting God. He's the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. So if you don't use the gift, it's also a bit of an insult as well. God gives good gifts. The gift of tongues was a gift given to you for a specific purpose. Don't believe all the rubbish that you hear about tongues, because the Bible actually holds it in very high regard. You know, all of this rubbish about tongues comes from people that don't speak in tongues and don't engage the spirit realm. So how the hang do they understand what the Bible's talking about? If you don't pray in tongues, of course you want to find a justification from the Bible that not everybody gets the gift of tongues and all this other sort of crazy stuff, or it was only for the first century. It's a load of rubbish and baloney. Tongues is important. Okay, what does the Bible do? The Bible corrects the issue of being unruly with tongues. Any good gift you can be unruly with. It talks about being unruly or over-spiritual. There's a trap where people get over-spiritual. So as long as you're not caught in the trap of being unruly or over-spiritual, the gift of tongues is held in very high regard. Don't despise the giver of the gift. Use the gift. Regard the gift with importance. Joy is a language of the spirit realm. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord will be your strength." It's not our joy, it's His joy. The joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord, you say, "I don't have any joy, I don't feel joyful." Praise God. God says, "Let me give you some of mine." That's why you can laugh when you feel depressed and angry and all those sort of things. Sometimes I just laugh by faith because He told me to. One of the most devastating situations I've ever been through. He said, "I want you to laugh at the demonically inspired assignment of injustice." And all I could do was go, "Ha, ha, ha," by faith. He gives you permission to laugh at the enemy, and it's His joy. You run out of joy? God's got so much joy. You want to read John 15:11. Find out how much joy it's got. Psalm 36:8 talks about the river of delight, your river. It's God's river of delight. And I also want you to know that God's joy is extreme. 1 Peter 1:8, joy inexpressible and full of glory. God's joy is extreme. If you haven't woken up to this revelation, I want you to wake up to it today. God is extreme. He's extreme. There's no half measures with God. He's extreme. He offends the mind to reach the heart. We're not supposed to create God in our image of respectable human perception. Our God is extreme. He is the very essence of expression. Huh? We're just a creation. What do we know? Don't go to some nitwit that doesn't even know the spirit realm to learn about the spirit realm. Let God teach you about the spirit realm. The Bible tells you that we all have an anointing, and the anointing teaches you, right? Hallelujah. I was in Vanuatu many years ago, and church there, church of several hundred, and they would meet in 6 different locations, and the churches, usually there'd be a lean-to on the side of a house. It's island style, you know. It's warm. We don't need walls. We just got a corrugated iron lean-to on the side of the house. So on a Sunday, I go to one of these churches, and I suppose after the worship, there's a time when some of the children were just opening up to Holy Spirit, and they were drunk in the Holy Spirit, and I wasn't really paying attention. I'll be honest with you, this is a confession of traveling ministry. When you're in ministry every day of the week, you kind of just kind of dial out a wee bit. I sit at the back of the meeting, you know, you could worship every day for 7 days if you want, but when it's another language and, you know, you just kind of sit there chilled out at the back. So I'm just at the back kind of chilled out. I'm not really focusing on what's going on. And next thing, this grief of the Holy Spirit hits the building. It was intense. I didn't even know what happened. This Holy Spirit grief comes over me, and next thing, I'm just crying, and I don't know how to explain it, because it's a different type of grief than any other grief I've experienced. Some of you will have experienced a grief which crying my eyeballs out doesn't describe, right? You were howling from a place so deep inside you don't know how to describe it, okay? So I know that type of grief. I've been in seasons where that grief was a reality for me. But this was a really deep grief, but it was totally different. I don't know how to describe it. It just came over me. And next thing, the leader of the movement was away at the time, but his wife was there in the meeting. And so her name was Joy. So next thing, Joy is in front of me. I'm at the back of this meeting. She's in front of me and she says, "Nathan, what will we do?" And I always remember it because she says to me later, "Nathan, your eyes were quivering." I mean, I don't know how you make that happen. You know, all around my eyes were quivering. It was just this thing that came on me. And here's what had happened. One of the elders, it was actually the gentleman's house. He was an older man. And he was one of the bigger leaders within this movement. He was a stickler for time. He would get really angry if things didn't stick to time. He'd go around like pointing to the watch and things like this. And so it must have just got his goat a wee bit too much this particular morning, these children getting drunk in the Holy Spirit. And so he grabbed a hold of them. He's an old man. He's quite an old man. Gray hair. He grabs a hold of them and he throws them out. I didn't know what was going on. The grief just hits the place. And what happens is half the church leave. They go to the top of the driveway. They don't actually leave. They go to the top of the driveway as a first step of leaving. So there's a crowd of people at the top of the driveway over here kind of looking on. And I'm here at the back of the meeting with the leader's wife looking at me saying, "Nathan, what do we do?" Well, I didn't know what to do. I was... Well, luckily the pastor, in his wisdom, went and gathered the people from the top of the driveway, brought them back into the meeting, and they took communion, and he got the guy that had chucked everybody out to serve the communion. I think he handled it very, very well. I think the guy would have got a bit of a rude awakening by that, because no one knew it was going to happen. But his behavior was a slap in the face of God. Why do I say that? Because people focus on the manifestation. It's wrong to focus on the manifestation. The issue is not the manifestation. The issue is God is doing something. You see, in marriage, you interact in 100 different ways. And so if you went to say, "Well, are we allowed to interact in this way? Where is that in the Bible?" No. You interact in 100 different ways as expressions of love for one another. And so when somebody comes along and say, "Well, you're not allowed to have barbecues on Friday night." And you say, "Well, where? Because it's not in the Bible. You're not allowed to have barbecues." Well, actually, having the barbecue on Friday night is just the expression of love and fellowship that you're normally used to. So when you despise the barbecue on Friday night, it's actually like you're slapping the relationship in the face. So you don't focus on the manifestation, you focus on the manifestor. You focus on the person that is present. You see, when somebody comes, we all manifest in different ways. You know, when the Beatles came, people started screaming. You know, I'm just trying to give you some extreme examples. But we all, in the presence of a person, we all actually manifest in different ways. There's 1,000 different manifestations of the Spirit, right? So basically, you got to understand when you slap a manifestation of the Spirit up the side of the head, you're actually slapping God, because it's not the manifestation, it's the presence of God that you've just despised. He doesn't like that. You know why I'm saying this? Because last week, it really caught me what Sue said, that this year there are going to be manifestations of the Spirit that we haven't seen before. Because God's wanting us to step into a realm that's greater, deeper, outside of the box. And we've got to understand who He is and what's happening. If we just get mad because of what we see on the outside, then we're going to get in trouble with God. I would say that the whole church, crying with grief, just suddenly and half of them walking out, well, I'd say that would have got the message through to that elderly gentleman that God was not happy with him. Would you not say? Poor man. I mean, I feel a little bit sorry for him, really. I mean, that was dramatic. It is the only time I have experienced the grief like that, and it's just wrote something on my heart, but I don't want you to fall into that same mistake, okay? I want you to understand something, that Judaism was a religion of extreme joy. Judaism was a religion of extreme joy. Unfortunately, today, we have this equation, law bad, grace good, and it's the wrong equation. Actually, the law established the nation of Israel and a culture of celebration. See, a lot of people don't understand New Testament manifestations because they don't understand the Old Testament and the foundation, layer upon layer, that God was bringing. So if you understand the Old Testament, oh, there's no shock to you that Holy Spirit could turn up and everybody could be rolling around on the floor half drunk. It's no surprise to you at all, because actually built into the culture of Israel was this reality of celebration of who God was. And, you know, it was an extreme reality. David dancing before the Lord with all of his might. You read through the Psalms, the word for joy, shouts of joy. There's so many times the Bible talks about shouts of joy. It means a shrill cry of extreme excitement and passion. Judaism was not a dead religion. It was the religion of the living God. And yeah, I think all of this stupid stuff, stupid New Testament theology would get sorted out if people just read the whole Bible. People that don't understand the drunkenness of joy manifesting in the New Testament haven't properly understood the Old Testament. Go home and read. Okay, you want to know what some of those words mean in the Old Testament? To split the ears with sound. This other word here means usually refers to a spontaneous emotion of extreme happiness, which is expressed in some visible and or external manner. To spin around under the influence of any violent emotion. These are all from 1 Chronicles 16, which is a Psalm of David. To jump for joy. To emit a stridulous sound or ringing cry. It means loud, harsh, high-pitched, and shrill. And then finally, that psalm ends by talking about the celebration of extreme goodness and extreme mercy. As I said before, our God is extreme. Part of praying in tongues and doing all this sort of stuff is to get us used to the extreme God. You know, if 99% of this city walked into our services here on Sunday morning and they saw people with eyes closed and hands raised in the air doing what we do, they would think we were extreme, and we just think it's normal. If they then saw us marching around going, Kushanda baka ravoku, sanda baka ravoku, sanda vava, they'd just about run out of the room. Actually, the gift of tongues was just a gift to help us learn to engage with the spirit realm, because he's an extreme God. He's radical. Hallelujah. So when Paul said rejoice, you know, he said this in Philippians. When Paul said rejoice, and again I say it, preachers have this area where they get like a stuck record, a broken record. So what was Paul's stuck record thing where, oh, he's saying that thing again? It was this rejoice thing. Like, I've already said it earlier on in the letter, but rejoice. Oh, actually, I'll say it again. Rejoice. And so when Paul says rejoice, and again I say rejoice, he was echoing all these Old Testament scriptures. So they knew what that meant. You could all do with a good dose of the book of Philippians. Let's go there. Why not? Let me just show you this. Philippians 1, verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Do you get it? Do you get it? He didn't just say, I'll rejoice. He then says, yes, and will rejoice. It's a bit like when you have no faith and no joy, and you go, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to laugh. Yes, I will rejoice. These guys are preaching the gospel and their theology is all wrong and they're ripping me apart, but at least they're preaching it. So I'm going to rejoice about that. Listen, is not persecution promised us if we follow God? The appropriate response to persecution is to laugh. That's what Paul said. He said, and this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. He's very intentional. He makes a deliberate decision. He will rejoice. Ha, I'm rejoicing. I'm happy. Yeah. They're ripping me apart, God. Ha. Paul, for all the theologians that study his theology, which is all good, I appreciate them, but they would be so offended by his presence. You don't understand the message if you can't relate to the messenger. Right? You haven't actually interpreted it correctly. Okay, Philippians 2, 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. I'm about to die. I think they're going to kill me. So I'm going to rejoice, and I want you to rejoice with me. Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, Paul's going on and on, rejoice in the Lord. He's already getting repetitive. For listen to this, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. In other words, having this kick devil butt attitude that says, ha, 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 it's safe for me to keep telling you that. In other words, you're in big danger if I don't tell you this. Interesting. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. 4:10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Okay, wow. Joy opens your spirit. I'm talking about the language of the Spirit. There's a language of the Spirit that helps you engage the spirit realm. Joy simply opens your spirit. When you laugh, your spirit opens so you can engage. If a married couple don't laugh together, they don't have a very deep intimacy. If they laugh together, their spirit is open to one another and they begin to engage on a deep level. So joy is just like the basics of tongues. It's just something that helps you engage with the spirit realm. Now, some people say, well, that's for flesh. Did I not say God is extreme? It's not just joy, it's extreme joy. People will judge and say, well, yeah, sometimes I think it's the spirit, but sometimes I think it's the flesh. That's the flesh, not the spirit. Well, I just want to ask you one question, if you've ever done that. Who made you a judge of that? Who made you a judge of whether that manifestation was in the flesh or in the spirit? Because like I told you before, unless you actually know that realm, how are you going to discern that realm? You can't. You're an idiot. You're a plain idiot. Write it down in your notes. It's a height of arrogance. It's like me going to the people in Mandarin and Taiwan, and they're talking in Mandarin, and I act like I know what they're talking about and stand in and give them advice. Like, well, that's totally in the flesh what you're saying. I don't even know what they're saying. I can't engage with them. I don't know Mandarin. If you don't know the language of the spirit realm, how can you judge what's happening in the spirit realm? You need to be in the spirit realm to judge the spirit. You need to be in the spirit to judge the spirit of something. It's true, isn't it? You know the false because you know the real. See, I know when people are laughing in the flesh. It doesn't bother me like it bothers some people. Well, so what if they're laughing in the flesh? If it's pulling on the meeting, I'll correct it. But I know when people are laughing in the flesh. You know why I know? Because I know the real. It is not because of my natural judgment, oh, they just look stupid. It's because I feel something in my spirit, oh, they're trying to get attention or whatever it is that they're doing. You know, some people are like constipated laughers. They just want to move with the spirit so much, they start trying to constipate, push, ha, 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 and it just grates on you, right? But you know the false because you know the real. Don't become a spectator judge. It's just stupid. Okay, so we've got four different things here. Thanksgiving and praise, tongues, joy, and the last one is this language of intimacy, Abba. I've just called it Abba. Abba is a language of the Spirit. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You can't argue with me on this. That is a language of the Spirit because it says so. In your own Bible, it says, we cry out, Abba Father, the spirit of adoption. It's by the spirit of adoption. In other words, that's his language. That's his word. That's his cry. So the language of the spirit is, Abba, Daddy, Father, Dada. That's what it means. Dada. That's the language of the spirit. Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Good. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? You're uncomfortable with the language of the spirit realm. In other words, you're uncomfortable with the spirit realm. You've got to get comfortable with that realm. Ha, 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 ha. Does that make you uncomfortable? Da, da. I could try going more extreme, you know, but he's an extreme God. It's not just Abba, Daddy, I love you. Well, he's that too, you know. But sometimes it's like, I've been in meetings in Taiwan where people are laughing, 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 laughing. There's one person, and she's so upset because she can't laugh. She's just crying. Only thing is, she's not crying, she's howling. I mean, she's wailing. I mean, just floods of tears. And no one even knows it because there's that much noise going on with everybody laughing. And she's just, it's all right if you cry, just cry. I'm just saying, our God, he's extreme. Why should we judge what the limit should be? Why should we judge, well, if you laugh to donate your tonsils, that's getting too extreme. If you begin to sound like a hyena, or if you begin to put holes in the wall, I think that's why. Here's something interesting. I think that's another reason why that old man got so upset with these kids getting drunk. Not only was he a stickler for time, but I think one of them had put a hole in his wall. Well, it's only a little lean too. It wasn't a serious damage or anything. And but still didn't stop this grief of the spirit coming into the meeting when he biffs them out the back. Evidently, God was less concerned about the hole in the wall than the old man was. Wow. Okay. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a little child. Isn't it interesting that children learn to laugh before they learn to speak? Before you start going, da-da, to your little son or your daughter, you start doing little movements and they go, they laugh. You enjoy doing things to make them laugh. They're communicating with you. Before, actually, ha-ha is the first word they say, right? Or, they cry. All right, okay, we'll put that in there as well. But they learn that language before they say da-da or mama. And the cry of the Spirit is da-da. So children learn to laugh before they learn to speak. Enjoyment and the expression of enjoyment is a kingdom foundation. It's a kingdom foundation. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, enjoyment and the expression of enjoyment, that simplicity of childlikeness before they can even speak or when they just learn to say da-da, that is a foundation of the kingdom. That's how you go in to the kingdom of God. And when you go in, that's when you start experiencing the fullness of the spirit realm. For we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Ask yourself, which of these four expressions God is emphasizing to you today? Is it the praise and thanksgiving? Is it tongues? Is it joy? Is it Abba? And to say, which expression, God, are you wanting me to develop? You can develop every one of these. True. You can develop every one of these. You can go before God in your prayer time. In fact, I would encourage you to do this if you're uncomfortable with it and go, Daddy, Abba, Dada, I love you. You say, well, I feel like an idiot. Do it because you're training yourself in that language of the spirit realm. When I first tried to talk in Mandarin, I felt like an idiot. I thought, what the hang am I saying? What do people think I'm saying? But I have to step over that awkwardness and begin to use the language, and then you get confident with it. So if you don't make a choice to cultivate the language of the spirit realm, you won't engage the spirit realm. And that's when you'll be sitting here in a service and some anointed lovely person will be itching to put a bomb underneath you. How familiar or comfortable are you with the language of the Spirit? Are you comfortable with every one of those manifestations? Do you have a limit where it gets too extreme? Ask yourself those questions. If the language of the Spirit makes you uncomfortable, choose to dethrone the stronghold in your mind. And that's another whole message for another week. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you that you're teaching us and training us in the language of the Spirit, because we're called to live in that realm and engage that realm and open that realm up to a generation that doesn't know you. Father, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts and show us how to learn and cooperate with you to increase our ability to engage in that realm. Amen.